the August 14th board work session to order. Roll call, please.
Lozinski?
Here.
Kraft?
Here.
Fanukin?
Here.
Stoll?
Here.
Winter?
Here.
And we stand for the pledge, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I want to say welcome to everybody who is here. We have representatives from LESCO and ICON and anyone else?
And our attorney.
Oh.
Construction Counsel David Riley.
Okay. And everyone else out there, welcome. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Kraft?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Fanukin?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Stoll?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, at this time, we have our first hearing of the public, which relates to items on the agenda. So if anyone wishes to come forward, state your name and address, please. No one? Okay. So that brings us up to our first board discussion.
Okay. Do you have a copy of this agenda?
I don't offhand, but I can put one up on the screen if you give me a... Did you bring copy? Perfect. Thank you.
Great.
Yeah, I didn't know if we needed them.
Don't worry, Todd, Mike has.
We can share. Pass those around.
Okay, one of the things the prime focus of this evening is kind of review the project status. And I know that Rob Blanchford brought a new drawing here, and I'll just start with that.
So I'll set it where I was.
We have an easel.
Easel.
I had a comb like that. I don't have it anymore.
Back in the day. You needed that comb.
Okay. So,
thank you, Ken.
Are you pretty level?
I think, yeah, that'll be just fine.
Well, you're
okay. So one of the things in the last Planning Commission meeting,
yes,
we did receive approval for our design, and the Planning Commission did approve that. That was a process. There were questions and concerns about Westtown Boulevard and the bus traffic coming in. Also, we had conversations about the Center Ridge entrance through the traffic study and the commitment that the city has made for a light at Westtown, as well as other work to be done on Center Ridge and Dover Center intersection. The traffic study that was completed, the city, Bob Kelly, in the work session of the Planning Commission, was able to really present the best ways to coordinate their efforts on the city streets to our design to really make sure that the intersections kept what they call a good grade, make sure that grades out well. We originally, in the drawing that we proposed, had opening the entrance across from the church, and now in the early one we had it over at Glenmore, but we moved it over in front of the church because of the concern of creating the four-way intersection here. But after the traffic study, the recommendation was to push our entrance back to Glenmore and put the light there. So the changes that you'll see on here, predominantly the Glenmore the fact that the entrance will be lined up with Glenmore. And the other, what's that?
What did I say?
Oh, the other part that we wanted to look at, so we have approval for the design. The city, we were planning on bringing back the designs for the play areas later anyway. Those have to come in separately for approval because we don't have the layouts. We don't know what type of equipment we're putting on there. But they asked if we can also, so not commit to taking down the trees over here. And is that why this is kind of framed like this now? To have that
on the landscape plan, which
the landscape
it's plan. There's a line. We told them we're going to limit 100 feet. We're not going to clear until they come out and review it and approve.
So primarily, I guess what happened was in previous projects in the city, they've approved plans and then people have gone in and just cleared the area and then realized they actually didn't need to clear as much as they cleared. So the intent of that was to kind of keep all these trees here until we really determined what we needed for the play area. So other than, and I think there's a few other stipulations, but in general, this is approved and we're ready to go.
What was the ultimate outcome then with Center Ridge? Because the old version, second version, was to widen it up into our entrance, mm-hmm. and now that our entrance is pushed back, are they still going to widen it beforehand, or are they going to widen it afterwards? Did we still give them that land?
Yes, they're still widening Center Ridge.
Okay.
So we just haven't received any information exactly what that easement is going to be. But yes, they are widening Center Ridge because there'll also be a turning lane coming in, a left-hand lane coming in from
the east. Got it.
From the east. So yes, we're still going to let them take I think it's up to 25 feet is what we had in the agreement. So whatever they need, however wide they want to make that there, we're fine with that. Since you brought that up, I'm glad you did, because it reminded me of the other conversation that we had about this cul-de-sac. If you see this cul-de-sac here, the original plan, I guess, in Westlake indicated that eventually Glenmore would come through like this. Now that's not going to happen, but one of the things that the city talked about was they use Westtown and they use this cul-de-sac to turn around garbage trucks, to turn around snow plows, to turn around different vehicles in there. So they really wanted to see this cul-de-sac stay here, which of course we're fine with too. So we are going to work it out with the city. So they called it Devil Strip or something that kind of, I think it's more of an easement around there. So nobody can put a road up and butt up against it and create a road or anything like that. This is going to stay as is what that does. Now the good news for us, they repair it. If it needs to be repaved, every time it needs to be cleared from snow and everything, they're taking care of that. Even though it's on our property, they're going to address all those things. So am I missing anything from planning, or was that pretty much it?
I think that was it.
Yeah. So very similar design, but the big move here is the Glenmore.
Gates off of Westtown, gates into the school?
Traffic gate. There'll be a traffic gate right here, and it will be on a sensor. And that was another area that was discussed, was having a traffic gate with a sensor. If you look at the Avon Middle School, if you've gone into there, there's a certain entrance that is sensor operated. It's not like at Lee Burnison where the gates are manually opened and closed. The other part of the conversation, which was good, another Westtown concern was the fact that they're one way in, one way out. They're kind of like an island here. So emergency vehicles, if there's any heavy traffic in here, they were concerned about access. But one of the things that our school does is that it would give an emergency vehicle straight access out here, and we would give them sensors so that they could just come right through and they can cut right through our campus or there if they need to get in there. So could provide that as well.
Scott, they did ask for a fence around the detention basin.
Conversations about the detention basin. Glad you brought that one up. When it comes to it, now there's a difference between a detention basin and a retention basin. Retention basin holds water It's something where it's filled. Detention area is an area that will take on water for a short period of time. So what if you get one, a really, really heavy rainfall, it's going to catch that water, but it's going to clear what the 100-year rain in 5 days, 8 days, whatever it is, it clears out. So to put it this way, we have a detention area in front of Dover Elementary. We have a detention area in front of Lee Bernison Middle School, behind Lee Bernison Middle School. You see them all over, and you typically do not see them filled with water. Mm-hmm. However, since this one is right next to a play area, we do feel it would be best to fence it, because you get a really, really heavy rain and you get 3 to 4 feet of water. That's enough, you know, for a short period of time to have something happen that you wish you would have had a fence. So we are going to put a fence in there.
That makes sense. I remember that discussion from middle school, mm-hmm, as well. So looks great. I'm thrilled with the outcome that the city planning commission had some really good ideas that made it into the plan, and that we as a district and design team were able to take into consideration some of the concerns of our neighbors. So it sounds like while we can't realistically meet each and every person's needs, sure, we're at least working to kind of include them in that design process. And I just have to say, just because I'm living next to a lot that was cleared just recently by a developer, it's nice to know that from some of those concerns that were raised by even myself and my husband, but other community members with the Planning Commission, that they're asking folks to kind of keep the trees there until we know exactly what's going on. There's no need to clear everything. If we can keep trees, we want to keep them.
Sure.
It's good for the lot, and it's good for the soil, and it's good for the neighbors.
It is, and when it comes to the Planning Commission, our first meeting, we went there, and actually I think it was Councilman Getze that brought up and said, hey, how about if we do a work session? And it turns out that because it didn't seem, you know, not all of the city information was out yet about what they're doing with the streets. And so that work session, I think when we had our original meeting, we had our meeting at the church, which was passionate, I'll say. And then the first Planning Commission meeting was pretty similar. But when we were able to stand and show how our design connects with Bob Kelly's and his department's plan for the city, you felt people increase their comfort level. They decreased anxiety. You know, they still don't want buses on here. I mean, that's not something they're thrilled about, but the fact to seeing how everything works together, mm-hmm, I think it put us in a better place to have those conversations.
Thank you. Thank you to everybody involved.
Want to talk about SDs?
Just as we're talking about the different phases of the project, I don't know if you recall originally, but the first phase is program development, where we define what spaces that you need, how big the building is going to be, and then once we have the program established, we meet with all of the stakeholders, your staff, administration, and we begin to develop the design of the building. And once we have a floor plan established and we start to develop the building three-dimensionally, we actually do it at the same time, as you can see in some of the renderings. And once that is done, we move into the design development phase, where we really define more of the materials, the quantities of materials. We start to specify certain things on the building. So we begin to know exactly what the building is going to have from a construction standpoint. We are just finishing the SD, schematic design phase, and beginning to move into the design development phase. After we go through that DD phase, we're going gangbusters on the construction documents, mm-hmm, and getting our permits, getting ready for construction. Right now, we're in that transition between schematic design and the design development.
So moving into the budget side of it, and one of the main reasons that we're here tonight is, as they're working through this process, the architect will submit the SDs to the district, but also to the construction manager, where we've selected ICON for construction manager at risk. And both parties will do estimates on it. And the architect will have their estimate of where they feel things are going to, costs are going to come in for the design where they currently have it. And then the construction manager will also do their estimate on that. So as we look and we talk about a budget, you know, there's a couple different budgets that we're looking at here. The overarching budget, the bond issue that we passed was $33.6 million. So that was passed this last November, and we have sold bonds in the amount of $33.6 million. Now, as we work through the project, we have our construction budget. And as a general rule of thumb, what we're using is approximately 10% of the $33.6 million, we're using that for soft costs. And those soft costs would include the cost of the architecture firm. It would include the costs of building permits that we would have to go through with the city, possible cost of utilities if we choose to do certain things like purchasing a transformer from the utility company. It would include legal fees or postings, publishing in the newspapers. Soft costs has a large number of things, including those things as well as testing. We'll have an independent testing agency. It also includes the costs that we've incurred to swap the property. We have had legal fees to do that, as well as the title process of going through a title agency and title insurance. So those are our soft costs. So after we take that 10% out, we're left with roughly $30.3 million as our construction budget that we're using for the actual hard costs, the construction of the building. And that obviously includes the physical building, but that also includes the cost of the CM in that budget, or in their, what their GMP, you know, could be for. So as the two parties here are working on their budgets or their estimates on what they feel the cost of the building is going to be, you know, we wanted to bring the board in at this point and kind of have a discussion of that. So I want to turn it over to Mr. Scaparotti to kind of talk through the budget and talk through where we're at with all of it.
Okay, thanks, Todd. So as Rob said earlier, we really go through a whole series of phases of design, and this one is the most basic and has the least amount of information, but we know some things. I mean, we know where it's going to be on the site. We generally know the scale of the building, its volume, and what the walls are made out of, and how the roofs are going to look. So our job as part of the team is to help forecast where that project's going to come in when we get all the way through all the drawings and we actually take it out for bid. So what we're doing right now is just our best guess at a forecast. This is not a bid. It's not a hard estimate. You can't take it to the bank. It is, however, something that's driven by a lot of experience doing a lot of school buildings. And most importantly, it's driven by what we're seeing happening in the marketplace daily. One of the things that we are a little bit challenged with is the fact that there is an unprecedented amount of work hitting the market, the construction market in northeastern Ohio, and particularly in K-12. Where there's over $1 billion worth of work that has passed, since last November that's hitting the market. And because of that, we're starting to see prices start to rise. It could get worse by the time we get to next spring and we actually go to market. We're not going to know exactly where that's at yet. But typically, projects like this are budgeted based upon the OSFC's guidelines for schools. And there are just so many schools that the state does across the state that it's pretty easy when you're doing a project yourself to reach out to their guidelines and say, well, we've got a 150,000 square foot elementary school housing this many kids, and it's X number of square foot per student and so much per dollar per square foot, and here's our number. And those things are driven by their guidelines, the OSDM guidelines and so on. And I suspect that that's probably a lot of what budgeted this project to start with, because that's what people normally do. School districts normally do, whether they intend to follow the state's guidelines or not. And it's sort of somewhere between that and what they think they can raise. And that sort of sets your budget. So we don't want to give anybody, you know, panic at this time, but we are seeing some challenges with the budget that we want to explore and talk about some options for how we overcome those so that we are not in trouble down the road when we actually do go to market with this. So as Todd mentioned, we actually have done independent estimates. So Ken has done one for LESCO. And we've done one as well. And the sheet that we handed out shows you basically the two estimates side by side. And right now, we are showing, with some of the things that we've taken into account in the meetings that we've recently had, that we're showing we're challenged by about 9%, and LESCO's at about 7%, so we're about 2% between us. But that's not uncommon for this level of design development. And it could be either one, or both, likely probably wrong, you know, to some small extent. But it gives us an idea that we do have some challenges. So the first thing that we were sort of asked was, well, where are the challenges with this project compared to other OSDM projects or other OFCC projects? And
can I interrupt a minute? Sure. OSDM is the Ohio School Design Manual, which is developed by the Ohio Facilities Construction Commission and kind of serves as the starting point for all schools doing their projects. It has a good, better, and best component in it. Some things are not in it that some districts might elect to do, but it's a pretty good basis for which schools use to design their buildings.
Okay.